Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. How many of you know what's in that chapter? Well, this is how that I know I've grown in the Lord some since a long time ago, because it used to be kind of a joke. What are you going to preach on? Love, you know. It was like, you know, you use a sissy if you preached on love or something. That's way off the bubble, let me tell you right now. God is love. But it was kind of like preaching on heaven. You know, I've told you before, that's what I used to. I'd try to preach on heaven, and I'd always end up telling, you know, the people who wasn't going there. That's how it'd end up, you know. But not always. I mean, I was thinking the other day, I don't know if there's any of them in here, but I mean, I preached a whole series on heaven here 3 or 4 years ago. And every Sunday for weeks, I preached on heaven. Can you believe that? No, I wouldn't have believed it, but I wouldn't believe I'd be preaching on love so much. But I've come to find out that's the most important thing. Charity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Let's read this. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I have give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Let's stop right there. So you kind of get the message that without charity, which is love, nothing else counts, no matter what you do. So we're going to look at that a minute. Now, when I move up like this, I'm shadowing myself. I'm shadowing my paper, so it's hard to read anyway for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the truth that's here. Please help us tonight. I pray that it would be clear. And I think it'll be clear enough. I just pray that you'd help us to receive it and apply it in our life. This is something we somehow, it just doesn't stick to us like it ought to. We forget, or we lay it aside, or we let other things crowd in front of it, and then, Lord, we fail in this so much. I pray you'd help us to realize the importance of it tonight. And, Lord, of all the traits, this is most important. Of all the spiritual things, the gifts that we can have, this is the most important. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm wanting to preach on spiritual gifts, and I wanted to do it last Wednesday night, but I wasn't ready. But I've discovered this about spiritual gifts. It means just exactly what it says. A spiritual gift is something spiritual that I'm able to give you, or you're able to give me. It's not something to help us puff us up. You know, it's not superpowers that are given to individuals by God to show off with. It's not spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are spiritual gifts. And this is a spiritual thing. This is more important. He names some gifts here and says, even though you have all those things, is there no good without charity? What is charity? So, let's look at that for a minute. We've got to say something about what it means before we can even talk about it. It means love. Well, let's get a little more specific with it. This is the word agape. You've heard all of this, and I've preached on that a lot. Agape and phileo. And in my opinion, most of the Bible teachers have them upside down and backwards, the way they teach it. But anyway, I won't get into that. Maybe we will some other time. But this means agape is agape love. Therefore, it's not referring to the love of wife, children, parents, etc. It's not the human love, not the affectionate, heartfelt love, emotional love. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what charity is. Are we good so far? Do we have that down? I mean, we're to have charity to all men. That don't mean we're to love everybody like we love our children, our wife, and all that. It's a different kind of love. And so that's what we're going to try to make clear here. It's to mankind in general. Thus the word charity. Charity. And particularly those that God puts across our path and into our life that give us an opportunity to do them good or evil. Charity. You know, we cross paths with people a lot, all the time. We do, don't we? We're always meeting people. You meet people at the store sometimes, just in passing, and have a little conversation with them. I mean, that's maybe the only time you ever see them on this earth in a lifetime. But what are you going to leave with them? You know, we were talking here a while back, you know, and I guess we're talking about that old man that stopped you in the store with the kids and told you to love them. What did he say? Just love them. You know, he didn't know her. She didn't know him. But just passing by. He gave her something, see? And that's what this is about. Charity. Without that kind of attitude, without that kind of character about us, it doesn't matter what else we do. Doesn't matter how faithful we are to church, how much we give. Doesn't matter about all of our gifts that we have and how much we understand and all of our learning. Doesn't count. It's nothing. I'm nothing, it says. If this is not the principal thing. So, we're going to have people across our path. And we're going to have an opportunity to do them good or evil. What if they're blocking the aisle in Walmart and we're in a hurry? We're going to drive by and kick our cart? Or drive by and scowl at them as we... Well, this is... I'm not joking. I mean... We need to get it right down where we live instead of having it. It's just this high principle and this high ideal that we don't do it, but it's a good thing. It'd be a good thing if we could, but... And we're always talking about that. This is serious stuff. It's what God expects of us. This is what God says it will be like if Christ lives in you and His Spirit is in you. The fruit of the Spirit is love. First thing. That's not a fairy tale. It's not a dream. It's not just some good idea. It's not a suggestion for better living. It's the way it is. The Spirit of God lives in you. God's love. The love of God will be shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. In a general sense. You know, and then let me say that. We're going to have an opportunity to influence people toward heaven or hell. And this is the key right here. You know, we've got this little saying, we say it pretty often, but nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. What really opens the door is to a lost person or a person that's out of the way is to be convinced that you do care. If people know you care, then you got a door open. You know, I've said for years, I've known a lot of preachers and I've seen preachers make an awful mess of things and scatter a church and destroy lives with their pride and their ignorance. And you know, I've always said this, if the people in a church are convinced that the pastor loves them and he ain't there just to get a paycheck or he ain't there just to have a place to boast from, if they know that he really loves them, he can say about anything in the world to them and they'll take him. I mean, they'll take the correction. They'll take the guidance if they know he loves them. If they think he's just doing his own thing and he's out for himself, they ain't going to take it. And it's that way across the board. It's that way with our children. It's that way with our spouses. It's that way with our neighbor. It's that way with everything. Amen. You may have a neighbor that's... You may think he's the trial of your life. And he could be, but God put him in your... across your path. He put him into your life. And that's... And what is our responsibility when that happens? This right here. Number one priority. You got to learn to care about them. You got to learn that they're a soul. No matter how obnoxious they are. What if God wasn't like that? How many of us would be here tonight? Have you ever dug back through your memory and remembered some of the things you said? I have. Some of the things you thought, some of the things you did before you knew God. What was the quote by Tozer the other day? I think, did you put it in the bulletin last week? I think you did. About every man that's been reborn, been born again, owes that fact to the deal that God never counted any of your evil deeds as final. He waited. He waited patiently. And that's what we... Why'd He do it? Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And if we're going to be like Him, then this is the number one thing. In a general sense, love, it means love and benevolence and goodwill. Listen to me. That disposition of heart that inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men and do them good. We're here at Christmas time celebrating the birth of Christ. What did the angels sing when they came to the shepherds in the field? What did they announce? There you go. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Goodwill. Then a Christian ought to have goodwill toward other people. Not ill will. We ought to look at everything. Well, let me just read what I wrote here. It's that disposition of a heart that inclines us to think favorably of other people. It includes the supreme love to God and universal goodwill to men. You ought to wish people the best, not the worst. It'll make us have liberality in judging men and other people and their actions. How are we there? I mean, how are we doing there? How are you doing there? A disposition which inclines men to think and judge favorably and to put the best construction on the words and actions of others as possible. Did you hear me? Instead of saying, I wonder what they meant by that. Was they talking about me? Why can't we just realize that we're all ignorant at times? We're all careless at times. With words, with other things. And why can't we realize that other people are just like us? Sometimes they say things they didn't mean. They didn't mean it to sound like it. You ever do that? You ever say something and then you say, oh no, why did I say that? Somebody told me that just here, in the last few days. Somebody's talking about that. Why did I say that? Wish I hadn't have said that. You ought to try preaching. And especially when you're young and ignorant and don't know what you're doing. And you haven't done it enough times to learn to be very careful. But even with the carefulness, you're still going to do it sometimes. Sometimes I go home and I think, I remember something I said. And then I think of somebody and I think, oh no. You know, there's a lot of people listen to us besides the ones that are here. And I have to be real careful about what I say sometimes, because I don't want to name names, and I don't want, I got to think about what it would sound like to them if they heard me say that. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to cause anybody to stumble. And I've heard people the other way around. What if they said something about me and I heard it? Well, how am I going to do? How am I going to react? Am I going to get mad? Offended? Am I going to do everything but curse them? Well, that's not charity. Charity is when you give the benefit of the doubt. You give them, you put the best light you can on something. And you hope for them. There's charity and faith, faith, hope, and charity at the end of this chapter. But what's the greatest of these? Charity. You can't have either one without all three. Can't have any of them without all three. But you got to have charity. Greatest of these is charity. It'll cause you to have love, faith and hope. Love will cause you to have faith and hope. Hope for people. And says this thing, well, you worthless, low-living, no-account person. You deserve to be in hell. And look at them like that. If there's anything that's not Christian, that's one of them right there. How can you be a Christian? How can you say you love God and hate your brother? Can't do that. The answer to that is you can't do that. Something wrong. The highest exercise of charity is charity towards the uncharitable. You understand? Loving the unlovable. Well, that's what God did. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave Himself for us. And what's that verse? God commended His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till you called on Him. He didn't wait until you turned to Him. He didn't wait till you changed your mind about Him. He died for you when you were His enemy, a vowed enemy, when you hated Him, when you were so messed up in your mind that you were out of crazy, mad, like a mad dog. And He gave Himself for you under those conditions with the hope that you'd come to Him one day. So that's, is that above what we can do? No, it's not above what we can do. It's what we ought to do. It's what we will do. So then charity is mostly about the disposition of our heart toward other people. That's what it's about here in this world. It's about how we honor and value their soul and their life. We're to honor all men. You know, get that. Honor all men. That's what the Bible says. Not just the ones you pick out. Not just the ones that honor you. Not just the ones you think are worthy of your honor. Honor all men. The lowest living, most despicable, rotten person on this earth, we are supposed to show charity toward them. What other hope do they have? And where else are they going to get that from? And if we don't have charity, we'll be indifferent and uncaring at best. Or we'll feel contempt and hatred toward them when they don't comply with our idea of perfection. Or if they interfere with our selfishness, we'll have contempt for them. This is the same word that's used in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8. We know this. We sing this. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Therefore, charity is not an option that we can add to our Christian profession to dress it up a little. It's not an embellishment that goes on to our Christianity. It is what it's about. Y'all getting this? Now, I know it sounds, this is like a story here, but I mean, when we go out this door, how's it going to be? Are we going to be that way? Are we that way now? Or do we just look at everybody as the enemy? You know, that's what sin has done to this world. That's why the animals are all after one another. That's why people are the same way. It's sin. That is sin. God changed all that for the person who's born again, whose body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You have charity. You care. You look at others with hope. And you try to provide an opportunity for them to realize and return and to find this way. Therefore, charity is not an option. Charity is the touchstone of Christian profession. You know what that is? A touchstone? Isn't that what you test it? Its absence, the absence of love in a Christian is proof that our profession is vain. Touchstone tells you if it's real or not. That's how you know. It's a tester, you know. And this is what the test of real Christianity is. Now, if that's true, there's a lot of people in trouble, isn't there? Aren't there? A lot of people in trouble. It's something that ought to cause us to check our own self often. There's a strong tendency in men to substitute other things in place of charity in order to justify themselves and appease their conscience, you know. And some of the meanest people that I've ever known in my life profess to be Christians. Some of the meanest people I've ever seen in my life are preachers. I hate to say that, but that's fact.
It's true.
Now, that just can't be right. The two just can't go together. Charity is the touchstone. You don't have charity. You know that that's true. Because you know that everybody that you've crossed paths with in your life, you know that's the real test that you give them in your heart, inside yourself. If they're a hateful, judgmental, accusing, critical person, that don't smell like Christianity, does it? The people you've known in your life, the people that have made a real difference in your life to get you to knowing God and serving God and understanding, without exception, they'll be those people that you, the charity is, I mean, you'll see it in them. They love. That's why they took an interest in you. That's why they invested in you their time, their prayers, and all kinds of other things. They cared. That's charity. Somebody cared for you, somebody cared for me, or I wouldn't be here tonight.
That's right.
So we need to go and do likewise. But people want to substitute other things. Be more religious. Do more service. That's what I see other churches and people counseling, like young people, you know. Young people get in a mess in their soul and they get out there and meddle with sin a little bit, and then their advice and their counsel at church is to just get more involved and be more faithful and read your Bible more and pray more, and that'll fix everything.
Yeah.
It's all about you. Me, 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 me. You know what'll fix you? Start looking around you the right way. Look out instead of in all the time. This ain't all about me, and it ain't all about you being a Christian. Jesus didn't die just to make us a better person. He didn't die so that we could just have all, so we could be spiritual gluttons and just have all that we can get. It's not all about just fixing my problems. My problems? My needs? What does that matter? Did Jesus feel that way? Even Christ pleased not Himself. He didn't go around looking for anything for Himself. Sympathy, pity, anything. He gave and gave and gave. He fed and fed the multitudes. And He was there to rescue people. God is love. Jesus was love incarnate. That's what He was. That's why the times counted from His life. And we mark time according to His birth. Even this ungodly world still does. He made such a difference in such a short time.
Amen.
And if we were anywhere near like Him, we'd make a big difference too. Even in a world like this. Especially in a world like this. And a generation like this. Though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. See, that's, I'm just saying to you, men want to substitute something else. In the church at Corinth, they were all caught up with this tongue deal. And it wasn't the kind of tongues that you see in all these churches nowadays. It wasn't even the same thing, you know. Tongue is language. Yeah. If Seth and me start talking in Spanish, you know, most of you not going to understand a word. That's tongues. But if we, and we ain't got no business doing that unless we can tell you what it says, what we're saying. But anyway, I'm going to get off on that. What my point is here is these people were big on the tongues and they were tied up in that because it is a spiritual gift and they were just boasting and proud. And you know, it's impressive to be able to speak other languages. And it's valuable to be able to speak other languages. It's been a thing with us because our younger children didn't learn. And so all their lives, that's been a thing with them because if we don't want them to understand, we'll just talk in Spanish. And it aggravates them. And I've found that it aggravates a lot of people. If you do that in front of them, they immediately they think, they're talking about me. Well, you need some charity, you know. I mean, but see, it's just not the same. But they want to substitute that gift for, you know, I've known a lot of people that speak in tongues, and boy, they can be real mean. You know what happened right out here at our tent meeting a few years ago? Y'all remember that? That didn't turn out too nice, did it? Gary heard at work that I dragged them out of the tent by their back of their neck. Well, that didn't happen, but it was a pretty bad scene. But people that supposedly had that gift, they weren't very nice. They said, well, you wasn't very nice either. Well, that was the deal. Wasn't supposed to do that. Anyway, it's valuable. But if a person could speak all the languages of men and yet had a selfish heart that put itself first always, his fabulous ability would only amount to a bunch of noise. Paul said, I thank God that I speak tongues more than that. Y'all, he can speak Greek. He can speak Hebrew. I mean, he could talk to everybody. The Romans, the Greeks. He could talk to the Hebrews. And, you know, remember when he stood up on the stairs and then he started speaking into them in their language? Everything got real quiet, didn't it? Because they understood what he was saying. But all that's of no value without love. Without charity. If you don't care about people, what are you going to say with your tongue talking to them? Even if you speak their language to them. You know, when we were in Mexico, I've told this before, but I'm old so I can repeat stories. But this, you know, we hadn't been there but a year or so, and I was speaking enough to understand everything that's going on. And there was a missionary that I seen. He was there with some others. He'd been there 10 years. And he was trying to buy a Pepsi from a guy selling Pepsis in the marketplace there. Well, the poor old Mexican was just... I heard the conversation. The guy said, how much? And the Mexican answered him and told him how much. I understood him. Well, the missionary didn't understand what he was saying. And he got ill and rude and mean with that poor coquero selling cokes. You know? But now, he's a missionary. He's there to preach the gospel to these people. Well, now, what in the world good is that going to do? The tongues are vain. If you can speak to them and make them understand, you better make them understand that you care about them. And you're there to help them understand about God and to know God. Angels are esteemed to be far above men in power and eloquence and everything else. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. If I could speak like an angel, if I could sing like an angel and have not charity. But that's what people want to do, don't they? Boy, the people that can sing like an angel, they're the celebrities in the churches. All you got to do is be able to sing and play a little bit. Man, you're the heroes. Love offerings, big meals, and everything. It's the life, man. It is. That's why that it's all turned into that. You know? Churches have become theaters for the celebrities. But if a person could speak with the power and the eloquence of an angel, it would be only noise if there was no charity behind it. That's what he says. Just become tinkling brass and sounding cymbal. A tinkling. I know. I do. I'm dyslexic. Don't just when I say stuff like that, just flip it in your mind. You know what I mean. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, well, yeah. I had a guy one time ask me that. He said, "Man, what do you think about the mysteries?" And I said, "What mysteries? The Hardy Boys?" Though I understand the gift, I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Well, nobody's ever got that far yet. But if I did, and I didn't have charity, wouldn't be nothing. Wouldn't be worth nothing. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all that, knowledge and understanding of facts and principles, that's pretty impressive and persuasive with most men. Yeah. People are wild. It's been a thing that's kind of made me sick ever since I've been saved, to watch people how they just almost fall down and worship a man if he's got a doctor's degree or if he's been to school and learned. And I've never met one yet. Well, maybe one or two. But most of them, all of them I ever met, didn't have nothing to say from God. They had a head full of knowledge. It was dead as 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, it didn't do anybody any good, but everybody was just like, wow. And I've heard them say, well, if you got a question, ask Dr. So-and-so. Well, a doctor is somebody who gives you medicine, in my opinion. Job said that God had warned him, had showed him, not to give flattering titles to men. There's makers didn't take him away. Yeah. A lot of, you know, there's a man. I don't want to chase that rabbit. Never mind. Being able to teach others knowledge and explain the way things work may cause people to admire us and inspire them to be like us. But all those gifts will produce no real profit in others unless it's based upon and exercised with charity. We say a lot of words, but a few words with charity are more effective forever and ever more than a lot of words without it. And just like the tongues, Paul said, I'd rather speak 5 words with your understanding than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Because it's not going to do you any good. You don't understand what he's saying. Oh, well. And though I have all faith, people want to substitute these gifts and faith. Though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains. And how startling it is that people can manifest such traits of godliness and still be void of God. Do you understand what the Bible's telling us here? Though I have all faith, no charity, don't count for nothing. Now, we've all seen people all through our Christian life who just seemed to be the real deal. Turned out they weren't. They weren't. We wonder why. Well, this is the touchstone, as I told you a while ago. Just mark people. I don't care how eloquent they are, how zealous they are, how faithful they are, how gifted they are. If they don't have charity, just wait on the wreck because it's coming. Yeah, that's right. You see somebody that really has charity, you'll find them down the road, you'll find them still being faithful, still helping people, still loving people, still going on. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. Generosity and charity are not the same thing. We can be generous, but not charitable. Can you all understand that? Think about it. We can be generous with our stuff and yet void of love in our heart. You know, rich people give out of their abundance, like when the widow gave her 2 mites. You know, Jesus, that's what he said. These all gave. The rich people came by and they just tossed in their offerings. And she came and put the 2 mites in. He said, she gave more than all the rest of them. I said, but that don't make any sense. And he said, yeah, she gave it all. They just gave out of their abundance. Yeah. I remember the preacher telling me one time, there were some people coming to church and some of their family was a kind of a rich guy and he had a big business going, had lots of money, and he knew it. He felt empowered by his money. So he come by one day and and just started talking to the preacher and just reminding him about how much he could help him and how what a blessing he'd be to the church if he was part of it. And well, the preacher basically told him, you know, we don't need your money. Yeah, this is God's work. And God will take care of us. And we're not for sale. Thank you anyway. Amen. He wasn't wanting to give it to God. He was wanting control. He was wanting to buy control. Well, it's just not for sale. You know, it's Christmas time. You know what will happen here at Christmas time in a lot of the churches? They lavish gifts on the pastor. Lots of money and things. Some of them will get a new car, probably a new Lincoln or Escalade or something. You know, it used to be Cadillacs and Lincolns, but now it's, you know. Well, what does that do? And why do they do that? Why do they do that? You got it right. How is he gonna preach to them when they've been so? I mean, how's he gonna correct them? He won't. It's a bad thing. You know what a preacher needs? He needs faithful people that believe what he preaches and lives what he preaches. That's all he wants. If he's a real man of God and a faithful preacher, he don't want stuff. That's not what he's there for. But a lot of them, that's what they're there for. What they're doing is not out of charity. It's just a profession. They call it that now. I don't want to sound so critical, but I mean, I'm just telling you how it is, and you know how it is. Nowadays, it's mega churches. And the men who pastor those have been through training, and really what they are they're managers like of a big corporation. They're like the CEO of the church who manages and makes sure that if the profits stay up, everything keeps going, and this ship don't sink. That's what he's there for. It's not that's what ministry is. Ministry is about serving. That's what the word means. A minister is a servant. He's a servant of God to the people. And a servant of the people, too. Oh, well. Chase that rabbit enough, too. I won't get no Christmas presents, will I? I don't want any. She asked me last night, well, I don't know what I'm going to get you for Christmas. And I said, I don't need anything. And I don't want anything. And that's the truth. I don't. We get what we want. All of us do. If I need a tool, I just go buy it. That's what everybody else does. So what's the big deal? Don't give me something for Christmas except faithfulness and love. That's all I want. That's right. Yeah. That's asking too much, ain't it, for you to love me. But I just told you a while ago about being the highest kind of love is loving the unlovable. And though I give my body to be burned, this is amazing, though I give my body to be burned, we can even go as far as martyrdom in trying to express our zeal and commitment, but be void of the main ingredient, charity. The Muslims, they martyr themselves. Is charity involved in that? Oh, no, not at all. Well, then the same thing can be true of so-called Christians. They can be so zealous and so filled with, faith in what they believe, but not the kind of faith that saves your soul and changes you and brings this love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You can be martyred. You ever read the Book of Martyrs? You ever read, what's the other one? That big, thick book I've got. Steve Tipton bought it for me in Virginia a long time ago. The Martyr's Mirror. hundreds and thousands of people through the ages who were martyred for God. You read that book and you got to wonder about some of them, let me tell you. What led up to it and what happened. Because the Bible says right here, though I give my body to be burned. We can even go as far as martyrdom. But who would ever think to question the salvation of someone who was burned at the stake for his faith in Christ? Well, the Bible is right here. I mean, this is what is put right before us out of the Word of God here tonight. Though I give my body to be burned. Let me see, where's that here? And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Wow. So let me hurry up. Charity is the mark of a true child of God. John 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. I quote this verse often, so y'all know what the rest of it says, don't you? If you have love one to another. That's how all men are going to know you're my disciples. It's the mark. It's the mark of a Christian. It's how we can tell. 1 John chapter 2, verse 11. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. Wow. 1 John 4, verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So if we've experienced the love of God, our attitude toward others will be one of charity. I hope you believe that, because that's the truth. You know, there's an old song. It went like this. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. That's that old time religion. The way they used to preach the message and the truth that they preached. That's really how it was. Makes me love everybody. Not like my children or my wife. It doesn't make me necessarily have heartwarming human attachment to them. Y'all understand that? God so loved the world, He didn't love Sodom like He loved His own people. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. Jesus loved the Father with phileo love. Look it up. That's more. This is the kind of love that just respects and honors the value of another human being who's made in the image and likeness of God, that Jesus died to save. Who there's hope for if they could ever be brought into the light. They could be transformed from that wretched creature they are into a child of God. That's the kind of love He's talking about here. If we look at the world around us that way. We have to have that kind of love sometimes. For our own children, for our spouse, for other close relatives and loved ones. That we love with phileo love anyway, but we have to have this kind of love too. If we've truly received forgiveness from God, we'll be forgiving ourselves toward others. And we'll seek for others to know God's forgiveness too. Remember what Jesus said about if you forgive not the trespasses of others, you know, others trespass against it, God will not forgive you. Now that's just the deal. Like it or not. Pair it out any way you want to. Jesus said it just like that. The fact of the matter is, if we've experienced God's forgiveness for real, it's going to change our attitude toward other people. And we will be able to forgive other people. When we realize, like we preached this morning, our sin in the presence of God, and then we realize, like I talked about this morning at the end, that it's really true. God does forgive and God does restore and God does make a new creature and a new beginning out of everything. If we really experience that, then we can look at other people and have the same hope for them. That's why a Christian ought to be a witness. And it shouldn't be a chore. It shouldn't be a tough thing. It shouldn't be something that has to be shamed and commanded and pressed into them to do. How can you not tell somebody what God's done for you and what He can do for them? We'll be charitable. If we've been born of God and our life will manifest in a given heart in all things. Charitable. We'll be charitable. Not simply generous with material things, but we'll be charitable. We'll give because we love. We'll give because we care. You know, this envelope we passed around here tonight, I hope there's more to that than just a mechanical thing for Christmas, blah, blah, blah. You need to pray about that. You need to really put your heart into that instead of just money. I mean, it's to help somebody with physical needs and all. But much more important than that is that they just realize there are people who care. You know, people lose faith in humanity because they're so selfish and so evil and they're just left alone and nobody cares. Especially in a long ordeal like they're going through. Yeah. Pray. That it'll touch hearts. And they'll realize there's a God in heaven. And He's still got some people on this earth. We'll give people space. And we'll think the best that we can of them. Best possible that we can think of them. Not the worst. Don't let your mind, don't let the devil and that evil spirit get you into the habit of just thinking evil all the time. Someday I'm going to preach on that. That's been in me for a long time. Think no evil. Think not evil. Not just speak no evil. Think no evil. Quit thinking like that. Don't think that way. We'll not be condemning toward anyone, even those who are our enemies, and treat us with contempt and hatred. I often wonder about people that I've had trouble with in the past. I wonder if they've grown like I have. I wonder if they still feel that way. You know? I wonder if they ever repented. I wonder if they ever grew up enough in the Lord to realize that is wrong. I wonder if they harbor hard feelings. I don't. I just realized this a long time ago. Just can't do that. No. There's nobody. I mean, there's been people that's done some terrible things to me. Say, you too, I'm sure. But I really don't harbor grudges, ill will toward them. I don't wish ill upon them. I don't wish they'd got blown away with a tornado. I don't wish that their house had burned down or their children had died or anything like that. You know, Psalm 109 has been going around ever since Obama was president. Here's how you pray for Obama. You know, these children be fatherless and blah, blah, blah. Well, now come on. How's that fit with this? But that helps people who are not charitable. It gives them an out. It justifies them. It helps them to hate instead of love. It does. We'll not be condemning toward anyone, even those that are our enemies. And all efforts to cover ourselves with other gifts and abilities and exercises of faith will be in vain and won't stand the judgment of God. Bottom line is, if God lives in our heart, we'll have a heart that loves in deed and in truth, not just in word. Yeah. Little children, let us love in deed and in truth. Not just in word. Now, Romans 5:5, I've already quoted this verse, but I'm going to say, read it, and this will be the end. It just says, because, I left off the first part of it there, because he's talking about a different subject. But he said, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. I've been preaching on spiritual warfare and all that for so long, but see, that's part of it too. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So if the love of God's not shed abroad in your heart, what's missing? The Holy Ghost. That's right. Because that's the fruit of the Spirit is love. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if you're saved, He does. Your body's temple, the Holy Ghost of God. Then what's going to be manifested out of you? Love. Yep. So let's just go and do this. How about it? How about start looking at people with love instead of hatred? Huh? Reckon this is right?
Yeah.
It is right. It's for all of us. This has been a thing I've learned. It took a long time to really sink in to me, but I really do wish I'd understood it better years ago. It would have helped. It would have helped eliminate a lot of bad things. Might have kept somebody from turning away from God. Might have. If I'd have been better at this. We need to exercise ourselves under this. Not just think, well, that's a good message. Yeah, about love. Yeah, boy, I like that. I love for people to love me. Is this how we do? We just turn it all toward ourselves. You know, boy, I'd appreciate it if everybody loved me like that. And, well, why do we love God? Because He first loved us. If you want to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. If you want to be loved, you got to love. If you love, you'll be loved. That's right. The world hates Jesus, but not everybody hates Jesus. There's going to be a great multitude that no man can number of all people and nations and tongues. And they're there because He's prepared a place for them that love Him. There's a bunch of people love Him because He loved them first. I'm one of them. Are you? Sure, I'm glad that God in heaven is that way. What if He weren't? You know, what if He was like most people? But He's not. He's God. He's holy. God is love. He's kind to the unthankful and the evil. So we need to be doing the same thing. If we're going to be His ambassadors in these last days here before He comes, which is soon, it's all lining up then we need to be like Him. How are we going to be like Him? This right here. The main thing. Main thing. All right, bow with me. Father, thank You for the Word of God again. I thank You that You've reminded us of this important matter. And I pray You'd help us to practice it. Lord, help us to not let the devil blind us, get us sidetracked, distract us, frustrate us with the things around us, that we'd forget this most important matter. This is what we need. This is what the world needs around us. And so, Lord, help us to care. Help us to realize the worth of a soul. And though a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, the value of a soul, more than all the world. And it all can hang on just this right here. The people You put across our paths, we can maybe turn them on the road towards You, or we might turn them on the road to destruction forever. Lord, help us to be aware of that with our attitudes, not just our words, but our attitudes of our hearts. People can read that too in our face, in our attitude, in the tone of our voice. Help us, Lord, to watch our step on this. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that You would tighten up the reins on us in this matter and help us all. It doesn't matter what it costs. Doesn't matter if somebody gets the best deal from us, or gets the best deal of us. Lord, help us to suffer ourselves to be defrauded if necessary, but to continue with charity. Lord, please go with us now and watch over everybody as we go home here in the dark. I pray everybody get home safely. I pray You'd help us through the week here and meet these needs and watch over these folks that are have problems in their health and all. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us and your patience with us in Jesus' name. Amen.